Hi again, everyone. My name is Fatima Wakil, as she already introduced me. My presentation will be on the relationship between the stress to capital ratio during pregnancy and postpartum depression using findings from the 2007 Los Angeles Mommy and Baby Study, or the LAMB study. And I know in the abstract it says resiliency, but I've changed the terminology since then to personal capital. I can always talk to you later about why we did that. So first, I'd like to say I do not have any relationships to disclose. And so in this presentation, I'll just be going over the background and significance, research question, methods, results, discussion of strengths, potential limitations, and implications of our work. So as we know, having a baby may increase women's vulnerability to depression. And the impact of postpartum depression on maternal and child health outcomes include things like negative parenting behavior, reduced parent-child bonding, developmental delays, and lower cognitive performance in the child, internalizing and externalizing behavioral problems, and later on, even the elevated risk of affective and substance abuse disorders in the child. So as you can see, the effect of maternal postpartum depression on the child can extend from infancy to adolescence and even all the way to adulthood. So based on a statistics from a CDC report, which analyzed 2004-2005 PRAMS data using 17 states, approximately 12 to 20% of women in the U.S. report postpartum depressive symptoms within the first year of giving birth. And the predictors of postpartum depression are, of course, manifold, you know, ranging from preconception and prenatal depression to young age to low SES to difficult child temperament. However, stress during pregnancy, specifically recent life stress and the associated perception of stress, has also been shown to be a salient predictor of postpartum depression. And similarly, low levels of personal capital, specifically low self-esteem and lack of or inadequate partner support and social network support, have also been shown to be salient predictors of postpartum depression. And so personal capital can be defined as a set of internal or social resources that women may garner during pregnancy that helps them cope with or decrease their exposure to stress during pregnancy. And we posit that women who experience greater stress relative to personal capital during pregnancy may be also more likely to suffer from postpartum depression. So our research question is, what is the relation between stress and personal capital during pregnancy in determining postpartum depression among women living in Los Angeles County? So to answer this question, we use data from the 2007 Los Angeles Mommy and Baby Study, which was a cross-sectional population-based survey of a stratified random sample of mothers who delivered a live infant in Los Angeles County in 2007. Data was collected via self-administered mailed questionnaire with multiple follow-up attempts by both mail and telephone. And the design and instrument were very similar to the California PRAMS, which some of you may be familiar with. And our sample design, unfortunately, our sample size for this analysis was only 749 women, unfortunately, because they only asked the postpartum depression questions in one wave of the study during the year. So that's why. Oops, sorry. So now I'd like to talk to you a little bit about our variables that we used. So the stress index was operationalized using perceived stress and severe stressful life events during pregnancy. So perceived stress was measured using a 9-item version of the perceived stress scale, and severe life events was measured using a 7-item subset of a larger 14-item stressful life events list, which was adapted from PRAMS. And then for personal capital, which again is a set of internal and social resources that women may garner during pregnancy, was conceptualized using Bronfenbrenner's ecological model, such that at the individual level, we have internal resources such as self-esteem and mastery. At the interpersonal level, we have partner support and social network support. And then at the community level, we have neighborhood support. So a little bit more about the measures we used. For internal resources, for self-esteem, we used a 3-item Rosenberg scale. For mastery, which can be defined as a woman's belief over her life, that she has control over her life, was measured using a 4-item Perlin mastery scale. Partner support, which was instrumental and emotional support from the baby's father, was measured using items from the Fragile Family Study. Social network support, which is support from the woman's friends and family, was measured using items from PRAMS. And neighborhood support, which included reciprocal exchange and social cohesion within the neighborhood, was measured using items on the Project on Human Development in Chicago neighborhoods. So I'll talk to you a little bit now about how we actually created the stress to capital ratio. So first what we did was we reweighted the individual stress and personal components based on a conceptual rationale. So for the personal capital index, we actually weighted proximal resources a little bit more heavily than more distal resources. So internal resources was weighed more heavily than partner support, which was weighed more heavily than social network support and then neighborhood support. And then for the stress index, we weighed perceived stress twice as heavily as severe life events, because life events may not always have the same impact on all individuals, and also they tend to be rare and acute shocks, whereas perceived stress tends to be persistent and chronic. And secondly, we standardized the stress and personal capital indices so that both scores ranged from 1 to 100. So here is our percentage distribution of scores on the personal capital and the stress indices. And as you can see, women were, you know, more likely to have slightly higher personal capital and lower stress scores, which is what you would expect in the general population. So to continue with how we created the ratio, we basically divided the stress index over the personal capital index, and then we transformed this into a natural log ratio in order to ensure symmetric fit. So we ended up having a range of negative 2.1 to 1.0, and a positive number, or a number greater than zero, signified that a woman had greater stress relative to personal capital. So here is our percentage distribution of our stress to capital ratio. And one second. 43.8% of women in our sample actually experienced greater stress relative to personal capital. But of course, this could be on many levels. It could be slightly greater stress, or, you know, the very top 6.1, which is a lot of stress compared to personal capital. So our outcome variable of interest was, of course, postpartum depression, which is measured using a 9-item version of the CESD scale. So we used it, had a range of 0 to 27. And we used 7 as a cutoff point to categorize postpartum depression based on the fact that the traditional 20-item CESD scale uses a cutoff point of 16 in a scale of 0 to 60, so we used the corresponding number of 7 for our 9-item version. So we looked at postpartum depression as a dichotomized measure, whereas if a woman had a score of a 7 or greater, it was categorized as postpartum depression. And then we also looked at CESD scores as a continuous outcome. Because our 9-item CESD has not been validated, and so our cutoff criteria may not be as reliable as the cutoff criteria used in the traditional 20-item version, so we decided to look at it both ways. So as you can see, based on our cutoff criteria, 38% of women in our sample reported postpartum depressive symptoms. So for our data analyses, we use multivariable logistic regression and generalized linear regression models to examine the relationship between the stress-to-capital ratio during pregnancy and postpartum depression. So we use the logistic regression when we dichotomize CESD scores, and then we use the generalized linear regression when CESD scores were continuous. So we controlled for parity, number of young children in the home, maternal age, race, ethnicity, income, education, marital status, pre-pregnancy depression, prenatal depressive symptoms, and if they experienced an adverse obstetric outcome as well. So analyses were weighted to account for sampling design and survey non-response. So this is the significant predictors of postpartum depression in our final logistic regression model in which our CESD scores were dichotomized. So as you can see, there's a huge association between having a greater stress-to-capital ratio and postpartum depression, such that women with higher stress-to-capital ratios were almost 20 times more likely to report postpartum depressive symptoms. And other salient predictors based on this model of postpartum depression were young age, being less 18 or younger, being single, never married, being lower income, and, of course, prenatal depressive symptoms. So when we look at the final generalized linear model, we see that, again, the stress-to-capital ratio has the largest association with postpartum depressive symptomatology. And, again, other predictors included being single, pre-pregnancy depression, prenatal depression, and experiencing an adverse obstetric outcome. So we conclude that experiencing greater stress relative to personal capital during pregnancy significantly increased the risk of postpartum depression. And marital status, as well as prenatal depressive symptoms, were also consistent predictors of postpartum depression. And findings suggest that predictors of postpartum depression may differ based on how it's modeled, obviously. And most importantly, it's examining a woman's risks and resources during pregnancy is very critical in determining her risk of postpartum depression. So some of the strengths of our study is that, to our knowledge, this is the first maternal and child health study that combines stress and personal capital into a summary construct which was associated with postpartum depression. And we employed a conceptually based multidimensional personal capital index, and this is important because the personal capital has not been adequately defined or measured in the literature. And we also were able to include both psychological and environmental measures of stress in our stress index. And this is important because studies have tended to only use unidimensional measures of stress. And finally, we were also able to examine postpartum depression as a dichotomized and continuous outcome. So some of the potential limitations that we have is the LAMS survey was administered postpartum. Therefore, responses about stress and personal capital during pregnancy may have been subject to potential recall bias, especially for women suffering from postpartum depression. Postpartum depression was measured using self-reported symptoms and not a clinical diagnosis. And also, we used a scale that looked at general depression symptoms and not symptoms that are specific to experiences associated with having or caring for a baby, which I think is a big drawback that we have in the literature right now, that we don't have such a measure. And also the weighting schemes, though conceptually based, may not have accurately captured the relative importance of the individual stress and personal capital measures, and they may not be applicable to all populations. However, we did examine 20 different ratios based on 5 different weighting schemes for stress and 4 different weighting schemes for personal capital, and all of them had very similar associations with our outcomes. So we wanted to use the one with the best fit. And finally, stress and personal capital measures were confined to available information in the LAM instrument. So therefore, we could not include pregnancy-specific measures of stress or other potential measures of personal capital, such as optimism or spirituality. Despite this, we posit that our findings warrant public health interventions during the preconception and prenatal periods to increase personal capital among high-stress women in order to improve postpartum mental health and, of course, long-term maternal and child health outcomes. And also routine assessment of stress and personal capital levels among pregnant women and women who are planning pregnancy by healthcare providers in order to offer the most appropriate support to women who have high levels of stress or low personal capital. And finally, of course, longitudinal research to explore women's risks and resources throughout the life course, especially preconception and interconception. And finally, I'd like to thank the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health LAM team, the UCLA LAM team, the UW-Madison Life Course Epidemiology and Family Health team, who I work with, and the Health Disparities Research Scholars Program, who funded my research. Thank you.
Thank you very much.